الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في إضلال الأعمى عن الطريق The chapter with regards to that which has come about misleading the blind person from the path The chapter with regards to that which has come about misleading the blind person from the correct path. The author he says, رحمه الله عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن من أضل الأعمى عن الطريق. The author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, the narration of أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم He cursed the one who misleads the blind person from the path, and he intentionally misleading him, and he from the correct way. So we see that this here is from the manners and the etiquettes of the low lives and of those people who have no manhood, and those people who have no sound mind that they would take advantage of someone who does. Not have the blessing of the eyesight, and they would laugh at him and mock him and turn him away from the correct path and mislead him from the direction that he's going, possibly causing him to harm himself and the likes. And this is from the major sins. Likewise, this issue has been narrated as well by Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhumah, collected by Al-Bukhari and Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La'an Allah. لعن الله من كمها أعمى من كمها أعمى عن الطريق May the curse of Allah be upon the one who misleads the blind person from the path كمأه يعني أضله يعني أضله So here in the wording of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه it's mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he cursed that person and in the wording of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما it's mentioned directly that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said, May the curse of Allah be upon this person, the one who misleads someone who is blind and turns him away from the correct path. We know that the la'an is al-tard, what ib'ad and rahmatillahi azza wa jal. And this is an indication that it's a major sin. May the curse of Allah be upon him, meaning may he be cast far away from the mercy of Allah. May the curse of Allah be upon him, meaning may he be cast far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning may the anger of Allah and the punishment of Allah befall him. So this is an indication that this is a major sin. And this is, yani, in reality, likewise, an act of treachery and betrayal that a person, he would be in this great need and he's not able to see. And that person will come along and mislead him and tell him that the way he's looking for is this way, and in reality it's the other way, in order to laugh at him or to harm him or to belittle him or to mock him and the likes like this. So this is something that the sufaha they would do, and the fusaq, those low lives and those people who are foolish and ignorant and those people who are considered criminals and corrupt and the likes like this, they would take advantage of the weak in this manner, taking advantage of a blind person in order to laugh at him or to mislead him as a joke and the likes like this. So this is something that is major, especially if that person is a believer. And it's incumbent for a believer to love his brother like what he loves for himself. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه ما يحب لنفسه That one of you that does not truly believe or has not completed the obligations of his faith until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So this is something that's incumbent, that he would not mislead a blind person on purpose and intentionally, even if a person, he's not blind, to mislead and to misdirect a Muslim upon knowledge is considered khiyana and is considered treachery and an act of betrayal, waliyadu billah. And it has been collected by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أشار على أخيه بأمر يعلم أن رشد في غيره فقد خانه فقد خانه من أشار على أخيه بأمر The one who had given advice to his brother about a specific affair, meaning if someone came to an individual to get advice and make al-istishara or al-mushawara, And then a person, he gave him advice and directed him to something that he knows is not the best option for him. And that the best means of guidance is in another path other than what he informed him of. And other in that which he advised him of, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, indeed he has betrayed him. Then indeed he has betrayed him. من أشار على أخيه بأمرٍ من أشار على أخيه بأمرٍ يعلم أن رشد في غيره فقد خانه فقد خانه. Then indeed he has betrayed him. Then indeed he has betrayed him. And likewise as well, narrated by أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه من صحيح مسلم, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, من غشنا فليس منا, that whoever betrays us, he's not from us. That whoever betrays us, then he is not from us. And this is also an indication that this is a major sin. That this is a major sin. And this is very general. Whoever betrays us. And such a great betrayal to have someone who is in need of direction and guidance, and they cannot see themselves. They cannot see themselves. They're blind. And then a person would mislead them from the correct path and the correct way. From the correct path and the correct way. Or even a person, he is not blind with his eyesight, but him in his heart, he doesn't know what's the best decision for him to make in a particular situation, and he will go to somebody to get advice, and that person will not give them sincere advice, rather will direct them to something that may be harmful for them while they know that. Or there is a better option and better direction and guidance that they could have given them, but they did not do that. But they did not do that. So this is considered an act of betrayal. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And whoever betrays us, and whoever betrays the Muslims, he's not from us. Meaning that his religion is weak, and he has committed a major sin. And he has committed a major sin. A major sin. Likewise, it has been narrated from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu as well, collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah rahimahumallahu ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلْمُسْتَشَارُ مُؤْتَمَنْ. Al-mustashar mu'taman, the one who someone comes to seek counseling and advice from, then he is considered, then he is entrusted to a trust, meaning it's an obligation for that person to give the advice and the direction and the consultation that he knows for that person, and to not withhold anything that could be detrimental to the person and the advice that he's asking. So the person who someone comes to ask advice, to get advice or consultation from, he must inform that individual of all of the good that he knows for in that particular situation and circumstance, and likewise must warn him from the evil that he knows as well. And he is entrusted. And he's entrusted. Al-mustashar mu'taman, yani annahu amin. Annahu amin. So if he did not fulfill that consultation and give the advice properly for the sake of Allah and mention that which he knows from the good and from the evil of that particular affair, then he would be considered having betrayed the trust. يعني أنه خانه. So this is the same issue here. So even more severe now, a person, he is in need, he can't even see. He can't even see. يعني, and then a person will tell him where he's trying to go. He wants to go to a particular doorway, he'll send him to another one. He'll send him to another one. Or he wants to go to a particular place, he'll turn him on the other way in order to laugh at him. And the likes like this. And to mock him or to belittle him or just to be cruel and to be mean. This is a foul way and from the major sins. After this, the author, he mentioned wadi Abi Dawood and Mu'adh radiallahu anhu marfu'a man hama mu'minan min munafiqin adahu ba'ath Allahu lahu yawm al-qiyamati malakan yahmi lahmahu min nari jahannama وَمَنْ رَمَى مُسْلِمًا بِشَيْءٍ يُرِيدُ شَيْنَهُ حَبَسَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى جِسْرِ جَهَنَّمَ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا قَالَ. Also it is collected by Abu Dawood from the narration of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ حَمَى مُؤْمِنًا يعني مَنْ حَفِظَهُ وَحَرَسَهُ, whoever protects a believer, مَنْ حَمَى مُؤْمِنًا مِنْ مُنَافِقٍ آذَاهُ. And whoever protects a believer from a hypocrite. What has been mentioned here about the munafiq and Allah knows best, the mugtab, the one who is a backbiter. The one who is a backbiter. So Allah knows best, some of the people of not has mentioned that this narration here in reality should be in the previous chapter. In the previous chapter. Maybe this narration is out of order. And Allah knows best that this one here should be in the previous chapter related to backbiting. Because now the issue is about the virtue and the great reward and benefit for the one who defends his brother whenever he's being spoken about in a bad manner behind his back. من حمى مؤمنا من منافق آذاه. Whoever protected a believer from a hypocrite who's harming him. يعني from the مغتاب, the one who's backbiting him and speaking ill of him and belittling him and mocking him. يعني behind his back and the likes like this, or even in any circumstance. بعث الله له يوم القيامة مالكا يحمي لحمه من نار جهنم. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will send for him on the day of resurrection an angel that will protect his flesh from the hellfire, that will protect his flesh from the fire of Jahannam. وَمَنْ رَمَى مُسْلِمًا بِشَيْءٍ يُرِيدُ شَيْنَهُ حَبَسَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى جِسْرِ جَهَنَّمَ حَبَسَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى جِسْرِ جَهَنَّمَ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا قَالَ. And whoever accuses a Muslim of something and he is intending by way of that to harm him or to defame him, to defame him, then Allah Azza wa Jal will hold him on the bridge of the hellfire until he repents from what he said, and until he repents from that, until he rectifies that affair. And it's known that in the hereafter there's no way to pay back the people except with deeds. Either he's going to receive the punishment for his sin accordingly until the individual his rights are fulfilled, or the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal will come to him from the shafa'ah. In any case, he will be in a state of punishment in this manner. This is something that is not considered light. This is something that is considered major, to falsely accuse a Muslim of something or to accuse him of something in order to defame him, and in order to find fault with him and to blame him and to lower him in the eyes of the people. And on the other hand, in this narration, the one who defends a believer, especially in his absence, as I mentioned, a number of the people of knowledge in the explanation of this narration have mentioned this is in reference to backbiting. This is in reference in backbiting, calling the backbiter, the one who is backbiting, a munafiq. And he's the one who protects a believer in this manner, meaning that someone will speak ill of him behind his back, and then a person will be there in the company of that, and he will defend him. And the likes like this, then he has a great reward. And it's mentioned that there's some weakness in this narration, although a number of scholars have declared it to be hasan li ghayrihi. So the weakness that is found in there is considered light, and Allah knows best. But indeed, the evidences with regards to defending a Muslim in his absence and taking up for him and the likes, this all is established, and the reward of that likewise. And the one who defends a believer in this life, then no doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid him and help him. كان الله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه. كان الله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه. That Allah Azza wa Jalla will continue to help a person whenever he's helping his brother. So if a believer aids and supports his brother, then Allah will aid and support him. And if a believer defends his brother, then likewise Allah will defend him and aid him and protect him. So this is something that a believer should realize and stay away from backbiting the people and speaking ill about them behind their back. And if one were to hear somebody doing that, then he will silence him. First, he will reprimand him and remind him that that's a major sin. And then likewise, if he's doing that in a manner and likewise, if he's belittling him in that manner like this, then he would defend him as well. And he will say that which he knows of good about that individual. And Allah knows best. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ تَشْيِعْ الْفَاحِشَ فِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The chapter with regards to publicizing and spreading al-fahisha, indecency, and actions of major sin and indecency, and he publicizing this and spreading it amongst the believers, meaning that this is something that is a major sin likewise and not allowed. The author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That indeed those who like that indecency, that the actions of indecency and vulgarness and foulness, any that the major sins like fornication, so on and so forth, be spread and publicized and made known amongst the believers, then they will have a painful punishment in this life and in the hereafter. So here the issue is with regards to liking that. And this is something that's in the heart. If they simply like that, they like that, the evils and the ills of the believers are spread and made well known and the likes like this are publicized, if they like that, then this is considered a major crime and a great sin, and means to have a punishment, a painful punishment in this life and in the hereafter. So if that's the case for the one who likes that to happen, or who likes this to occur, how about the one who actually acts upon that, and then he performs that, and from that is to spread the ills of others, and to speak about them, and carry the tales, and mentioning the foul things that this person is doing and that person is doing until it's widespread, spreading it on the different means of communication and the social media and the likes like this. Look what this person is doing. Look what that person is doing. Look what they're doing in this country. Look what they're doing in that country, in order to spread the ills and the evils and the evils of the believers. And many times those who do this, they have political goals and agendas. And you will find this to be true if you look in detail. And the reason why they do many of these things. And other times they just do that simply because they want to belittle individuals, or they want to defame them and the likes like this. But anyways, what we understand from this is that it's an obligation, and that it is incumbent and mandatory that one, he will conceal the faults of the believers, and he will not display them, and he will not spread them. And if there are evils or indecencies that are occurring in the ranks of the believers, or throughout the ummah, in this country or in that country, or in this society or that society, there are individuals falling into major sins, falling into actions of indecency and the likes like this, then this will not be spread and made publicized. This should not be spread and made publicized. And in reality, this is only making the enemies of Islam laugh at the believers. Look at the believers doing this, and look at the believers doing that. And likewise, whenever the people of wickedness and evil, they see others and he committing the evil, and it seems to be widespread and fair seeming to them, then this will cause them to be bold likewise to commit that affair. They will see, oh, all of these people are committing fornication. All of these people, they have a boyfriend and girlfriend. All of these people, they're mixing on these social media networks, and this is being widespread. Then the people of weak heart and weak faith, then they will take advantage of that, and this would encourage them to fall into that and to proceed upon that way. So there are many ills that come from this. There are many ills that come from this, and it's not allowed. It's not allowed for this reason to spread the indecency and to publicize the faults and the ills and the sins of the believers. It's not even allowed to like that. It's not even allowed to like that in the heart of a person. So this is something likewise that is major. If there are affairs that are occurring like this, a believer, he would hasten to cover that and to be a means to stop that and to prohibit that, or at least to lighten that, or what he would do whatever he can to make sure that any of this doesn't become more severe or worse. And in any case, he would not participate in publicizing that and circulating that and spreading that for the world to look at and for the people to see, and to look at the ills and the faults and the mistakes and the errors and the foul ways and sins of some of the believers. Rather, he would hope that their faults will be covered, that their faults will be covered. After this, the author, he says, Babu al-Rishwa. Babu al-Rishwa. Al-Rishwa, it means bribery. It means bribery. You say al-Rishwa, al-Rashwa, wa-Rushwa. And al-Muthalith, al-Muthalith, al-Ra. It's pronounced in all three ways. Al-Rushwa, al-Rashwa, wa-Rishwa. Al-Rishwa is any one of the terms that is, or the pronunciations that is well known. Al-Rishwa. Al-Rishwa, here what is intended is bribery, to take and to give bribes in order to reach or to achieve something that is not allowed, in order to take the right that one does not deserve, or to deny a right from someone who deserves it, so on and so forth. This is considered bribery. This is considered bribery, Al-Rishwa. And it comes from Al-Risha, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the habal, this is the rope, al-habal alladhi yastakhraju bihi yani al-ma' min al-bi'r yurbatu bihi al-dalwu yastakhraju bihi al-ma'u min al-bi'r, that the rope that one will use, that he ties to a bucket to get the water out of the well, this is called al-risha. Yani, so this is the meaning of that affair. It's something that, yani, the linguistic meaning is something that will be used in order to reach and to achieve another goal or aim. So here, in the legislation, what is intended is the means that a person, he will take by giving money or any other type of effort or benefit of effort or benefit. He would do something for somebody or promise them something or help them to obtain a particular goal or the likes like this, or give them money, and if, or give them money, give them cash in order to do something for them, in order to do something for them, to help them to get a right that they do not deserve, to help them to get a right that they do not deserve, and the likes like this, or to take the right from someone who deserves it. This is called arishwa. This is called arishwa. And it is not allowed. Rather, it's from the major sins. Rather, it is from the major sins. The people of knowledge, as they say, yani huwa malun yudfa li ihqaqi batirin aw imtari haqq. Yani, to summarize, malun aw manfa'a, yani aw nahwi dhalika, yudfa li ihqaqi batirin aw imtari haqq. It is money that will be given to somebody, or any other type of benefit that will be given in order to take the right of somebody, or to deny them their right, or to take a right that one he does not have. The majority of the times it will be by giving somebody money. It will be by giving somebody money. And this is forbidden. And this is from the ways of the Jews. And this is something that the Jews, they were known for specifically. And Allah, He had referred to them in this affair in a number of places in His book. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, and do not eat your wealth. Do not eat the wealth one of the other in falsehood. And do not falsely take the wealth one from the other. And a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned that what is intended here is arishwa. Yani arishwa. Or some of the people of knowledge, like them al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he said that this is very general. And there are many aspects included here. And from them, arishwa. And from them, arishwa, eating and taking the wealth of others falsely and without right, from the aspects of that and from that which the Jews, they were known for, is arishwa. And for this reason, likewise, many times, whenever the word as-suht is mentioned in the Quran, سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَكَّالُونَ لِلْسُّحْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about the Jews again, saying that they love and they prefer to listen to falsehood. They prefer and love to listen to falsehood, and they love to eat up any type of wealth that is impermissible. أَكَّالُونَ لِلسُّحْتِ. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and other than him from the Salaf, mentioned that what is intended here is arishwa. Arishwa. أَكَّالُونَ لِلسُّحْتِ. Yani arishwa. That they love to eat up the wealth of the people and falsehood and any wealth that is haram and impermissible and forbidden. This is something that they go for, and from that, arishwa, and from that, bribery, and taking bribes in order to obtain objectives and goals that they do not deserve, or to deny others rights that they have coming to them. All of this is from a foul way, and all of this is from the major sins. All of this is a foul way, and all of this is from the major sins. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And do not purchase with my verses a cheap and miserable price. Do not purchase with my verses a cheap price. Yani a cheap price. Meaning, do not sell my verses, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the laws and the rulings that are found therein. Do not trade them. Do not trade them and sell them and prefer them and prefer the worldly life. In return, and do not sell the religion for the worldly life. And do not take the worldly life as an exchange for the hereafter and for the religion. And this is something that the Jews, they were known for as well. And this is from their foul and lowly traits, that they use the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal for their advantage, for their personal gains. And they would conceal much of the truth in order to manipulate the people and to use them and to have money. And from that is what is intended here. And Allah knows best that the Jews in Medina specifically, they were aware. They are aware of the attribute and the characteristic. They were aware of the attributes and the characteristics of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was revealed to them in the Torah. And this was something that they were aware of. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came, they hid that and they concealed that. They hid that and they concealed that. And their leaders and their scholars, they had individuals that they had taken advantage of. They had individuals from the Yahud, yani from the lower class people, that they had taken advantage of. And they were using them and they were taking their wealth and unlawfully and the likes like this, and they were taking advantage of them in this manner, And they were afraid that if they found out about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would lose these benefits. They would lose these benefits. And if they would lose that opportunity to steal and to rob the wealth of the people in this manner, to betray them. And if they were betraying them. And if this is the case, Al-Baghawi, he mentioned this, and likewise Al-Tabari, rahimahum Allah ta'ala, that the Ahbar and the ulama, and the likes of the Jews, they used to have individuals from the lower class, and they would belittle them, and they would put them down and use them, and they would take wealth from them, and the likes like this. And they would take wealth from them and convince them to giving them their wealth, and they were afraid that they would lose this wealth if they found out about the attributes and characteristics of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they hid that. They hid that for their worldly gain. They hid that for their worldly gain. So this is very general here. And do not purchase a miserable price, and I mean in the worldly life, and the position and status and rank of the worldly life, by way of my verses. And do not trade that. So this is something that's foul. For example, a person, he'll buy something. If he buys something, he'll use something in exchange for that. For example, we give money, we give dollars to purchase that which we need. So it's like they're taking the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, this lofty and great knowledge, and they're using that and giving that in return. In return for that, they're getting their worldly life, which goes away, and the status and rank. And from the leadership and the likes like this, from the affairs of their worldly life, that in reality is nothing. They have traded this miserable trade. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So from that, or from the aspects of that, and also that which is included, that from the general aspect, is الرشوة. And this is what the author, he's intending here. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, and Allah knows best. Yani bribery, taking bribes, especially with regards to the rulings. And they would do the likes of this. Somebody would have a case and the likes like this, and he would give the judge, or the one who's going to solve the disputes amongst them, he would give them some money in order to lighten his heart, to rule for him. If he has a particular case he's trying to get and he wants to win that case, he'll give the judge some money and bribe him like this in order to have his case established. Or if somebody had a case against him and he was in jeopardy, then he will bribe the judge and the ruler in order to judge on his behalf, to lighten the affair, so he would not be taken to account, so that he could come out on top. All of this is what is included here, and especially in the issue of ruling with the judge of Allah, the ruling with the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal. But likewise in other aspects as well. And the people of knowledge, they mention anyone who has a position, especially a government position, or he has a position where he has status and rank in that position, and he has others under his authority, to give him money and the likes like this, and hope to get him to do something, yani for an individual that is not allowed. Or to take the right of another and to put his right first. And the likes like this, all of this is considered from bribery. So the author, he says, وَعَنْ إِبْنِ عَمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا مَرْفُوعًا. And it has been narrated from Ibn Amr that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي صَحَّحَهُ الترمذي. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed the Rashi and the Murtashi. The Rashi, he's the one who gives the money. He's the one who gives the rishwa. He's the one who gives the bribe. And the Murtashi, he's the one who takes it. Al-Rashi huwa dafi' al-rishwa. Wal-Murtashi huwa akhidhuha. He's the one who takes it. The author, he mentions that At-Tirmidhi has declared this narration to be authentic. Inshallah, it is an authentic narration. Then he says, وَلِي أَحْمَدَ أَنْ ثَوْبَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الرَّاشِيَ وَالْمُرْتَشِيَ وَالرَّائِشِ يعني الَّذِي يَمْشِي بَيْنَهُمَا. Also, it has been collected by Imam Ahmed from the narration of Thawban رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he cursed the Rashi, the one who gives the money for, the one who gives the bribe, and the one who accepts and takes the bribe, والرائش, and he is the one who is considered the wasit, and he is the one who's going between the two of them, trying to raise the cost of the bribe for this one and lower it for that one, and the likes like this. So this narration here, the second one, although the wording is very similar, the last part is not established or affirmed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the portion here, وَالرَّائِشْ يَعْنِي أَلَّذِي يَمْشِي بَيْنَهُمَا, this portion here, يعني is weak and not established. And the chain here of Al-Imam Ahmed has two narrators that are weak. So this addition here, the الزيادة هذه منكرة. As for the narration itself, لَعَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلْمَ الرَّاشِيَ وَالْمُرْتَشِي, this is established and affirmed and authentic on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the person who is a judge, for example, for an individual to go to him and to give him money in order for him to rule for him, or to lie in his ruling, or to rule against somebody, and the likes like this, this is called rishwa. This is called bribery. Many times this is where it will occur, in the courts, and the likes like this. And this is all haram, and from the major sins. And there's a curse with regards to this. Likewise, it occurs as well in other fields, and especially in the fields of the government offices and the likes like this. And many times a person, he will not do his job properly except if you pay him some money, except if somebody pays him some money and the likes like this. And so this is all from the foul ways. For example, maybe a person, he is coming to do some documents, and there's a long line, and so he will come in front of everybody, and then he will say, here's my information, and here's a little bit of money, put me in front. So the one who used to be, for example, number 10 or number 11 or number 12, now he's number 11, 12, or 13. So he just got bumped back. So he's taking the right of that person. The person who came first, he is in line. And he has that right in that line. And then a person, he will come and pay some money and bribe that individual to put him in front. So now he's taking the rights of those others. And he's doing that by bribing this person. And with bribery, the scales of justice, they're flipped. And society becomes corrupt in a major manner, and the ruling and the law of Allah and the justice amongst the people becomes corrupted, and many problems in society occur in this manner. For example, if a person he was speeding and he was going over the speed limit, and then the cop, he pulled him over and he said, "I'm going to write him a ticket. The ticket's $200 and then the man, he's like, "You know what, don't write the ticket, let me just give you $50 This is called bribery. This is what is intended here. This one is haram. It's not allowed for him to do that, to bribe. This is like corrupting the scales and the laws and the order and the land and the likes like this. And so this is a foul way. Or for example, in schools where the teachers are paid and there is order in the school, government schools, for example, or state schools and the likes like this, where there are grades and there's tests and the likes like this, and people pass or they fail, and according to their grades, to go and pay the teacher a little bit of money in order for the child to pass the test or to have a higher grade. All of this is called bribery, or for somebody to be in competitions and the likes like this, different type of competitions, and then somebody will pay him off so that so-and-so can win and the likes like this, or have a higher. All of this is called bribery. All of this is not allowed. As for in a certain circumstance, for example, somebody is denying them their right. For example, maybe somebody, he has to get some particular paperwork signed in one of those offices. And then he comes and the person, he will not take care of his business for him. Somebody is oppressing him and told them, if this person comes, do not take care of his business for him. Do not sign his paper. Do not sign his documents. Delay him. Like this. So this person here now, if the only way he's able to get his right is by paying the person like this, then it would be allowed for him. But this is only in rare circumstances. The person, he wouldn't take advantage of that. Meaning if there's no way for a person to get the right he deserves, then except by giving the bribery, somebody's going to bribe him and take his right, or will not give him his right except by paying, then now it's allowed to pay. It's allowed for the person to pay and haram for the person to take. So the one who's taking the money, he's considered performing bribery. As the one who's giving the money, he's doing what he has to do to get his right. or to avoid greater harm. For example, somebody said, normally when you go to do the documents, they tell you come back in a month. Right. This is something normal. Everybody who comes, they put their paperwork in, they tell you come back in a month, for example. So now this is the normal affair. So now a person, he says he got his papers, they said come back in a month. He goes to the worker, to the employee, and he's like, here's my paperwork, here's some money, I want to come back next week. This is not an obligation for him. This is not a necessity for him. And this is not allowed for him to do that. He is taking the rights of all those people who have preceded him. You understand that? So this is haram and this is rishwa. And this is not allowed. As for if he came and he's trying to go and the people say, no, come back next week. I'll come back next week. He won't even deal with him. Yani, he'd come back next week. Pay me some money or come back next week. Like this. Pay me some money. Like that. Now he can't get his right except if he pays the money. So now it will be allowed for him to pay the money while it's haram for the other person to take it. Because now he's being denied his right. Now he's being denied his right, and there's only way for him to get his right is to go through this affair like this. Is to go through this affair like this and to do that. So then he will be free from blame or free from sin. He will be free from blame or free from sin. Many of those offices and the likes like that, they will not deal with you except if you pay them. And so if that's the case and somebody is, again, forced in a case of necessity, then he will pay that and the sin will be upon them. But it's incumbent likewise to inform the authorities of these affairs and try to do away with this, because this is in reality any great corruption, working great corruption in the society. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So Al-Islam has forbidden this. And this is from the major sins. This is from the major sins. After this, the author, he says, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى بَابُ هَدَايَا الْأُمَرَاءِ غُلُونَ. Babu Hadaya al-Umara Ghulun. The chapter with regards to the issue that giving gifts to al-Umara, yani al-Ummal, the government employees, giving gifts to government employees is ghulun, yani meaning likewise it's a type of rishwa, it's a type of bribery, giving a gift. Here before, the person is going straight to the individual and bribing him, straight direct bribes. The issue now is the same thing, but only trying to make it seem like he's giving him a gift. Before, he is going to bribe him literally in his face, and now he's not going to bribe him literally in his face, he's going to pretend to give him a gift. But why is he giving him a gift? He's giving him a gift because of his position, and because of his employment, and because of where he's at, and the likes like this. So to give gifts, this is something that is legislated. And this is something that is praiseworthy. And this is something that is good in general. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Tahadu tahabu," that if you give gifts to one another, you will love one another. Give gifts to one another so that you will love one another. So this is something that's praiseworthy. But there are places where it's not allowed because of what it could lead to from bribery and the likes like this. And Allah knows best. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.